Welcome to Inside the Castle, the podcast that goes behind castle doors to have real conversations with real people about solving the nation's toughest challenges. I'm Dr. Nadia Mohandasi, your host for today's episode, and today we're going to be talking about the past, present, and future of the backbone of the Army Corps of Engineers, USACE Engineering and Construction, or ENC. We have a full house today with the headquarters ENC leadership team, including Mr. Pete Perez, chief of the ENC division, as well as Jason Fairchild, Vanessa Bateman, Kenny Simmons, Travis Tutka, and Dr. Chris Thompson. So before we dive in, let's do a quick roundtable introduction. Mr. Perez, we'll start with you, sir. Tell us what you do for the Corps.
Okay, well, I'm Pete Perez. I'm the chief of engineering construction for the Corps of Engineers.
Really, one of my primary responsibilities is to set conditions for the community of practice of 10,000 people to be successful and produce products that are representative of the standard of care and meet a Corps standard.
Great. Thank you so much for joining us today, sir. Let's move to Jason. Jason, tell us what you do for the Corps.
Certainly. My name is Jason Fairchild. I'm the Deputy Chief of Engineering and Construction here at headquarters. I support Mr. Perez as well as our extremely diversified staff of composing all of the different disciplines that we have within ENC and their varied communities of practice out across the districts.
Okay, thanks, Jason. Next up, Vanessa. Vanessa, tell us what you do for the Corps.
So my job is Chief of Civil Works Engineering, and that branch is over a number of the communities of practice. It's climate preparedness and resilience, hydrology, hydraulics, and coastal, geotechnical, geology, and materials, structural engineering, CAD-BIM, and geospatial, and really gets into a lot of these areas that deal with civil works engineering that is not necessarily dam and levee safety. So if it's dam and levee safety, it's over here with Travis. But if it's other civil works issues, even if it's a community of practice that may be underneath Chris Thompson, I'm going to be dealing with a lot of those issues. So I deal a lot with the feasibility projects and getting the engineering right during feasibility, right? That's a really big part of our civil works program, as well as with all of these other communities of practice kind of within the civil works delivery process.
Okay, great. Thank you, Vanessa. Let's move to Kenny. Kenny, what do you do for the Corps?
Hey, so I'm Kenny Simmons. I'm the chief of the construction branch at headquarters USACE. I've got three primary responsibilities as part of that branch. I'm sort of dual-hatted as the branch chief and the construction management community of practice lead. We also have the cost engineering community of practice and a great team of cost engineers that I look forward to working with every day, honestly. And then we also provide the technical support to the Department of Veterans Affairs major construction program. So we've got some engineering and construction focused individuals to support the DVA full time in my branch. There's some other ancillary duties that we have, but I think the coolest thing about being in construction is the diversity of the successes and the challenges that come through the branch. We touch every mission line in the agency. So the good, the bad, the ugly, we're all a part of.
All right. Thanks, Kenny. Now let's move on to Travis. Travis, tell us what you do for the Corps.
So I'm the Dam and Levee Safety Branch Chief. So one of the ways we can help make water useful and protect people from water when it's seeking to do harm to our society is with dams and levees. But making sure that infrastructure is not only giving us great benefits, but also keeping people safe that are upstream and downstream of those structures.
Great. And Chris, how about you? What do you do for the Corps?
Yeah, thanks. So I'm the Chief of Military Engineering, and we support a variety of communities of practice, the fire protection, mechanical, electrical, and control systems communities, as well as architecture, landscape architecture, interior design. We also get involved a lot in structural engineering, medical, geotech, cost engineering, and other niche engineering disciplines throughout the Corps of Engineers. We also support the Unified Facilities Criteria. That's one of the most important things we do. We write the DoD building code and all the other codes that are related to it. We also support the Army standards through the Centers of Standardization. We support design policy, and we serve as proponents for the Centers of Expertise.
Okay, I'm so grateful everybody could make it today, and I wanted to take advantage of the full team here to have a conversation about some of the recent strategic initiatives and vision for the future of ENC in the Corps. So we've made some exciting strides over the past few years, from what's known as the Perez Memo or the Design Maturity Memo to, of course, the publication of the ENC Strategic Plan last year, which outlined the focus and direction of USACE ENC to deliver quality consistently and continue to build on the strong foundation of our folks' hard work, their dedication, and their knowledge to prepare for the uncertainty of the future. So, Mr. Perez, I was wondering if you could talk us through the evolution of your strategic vision. What was that like?
As I've said on many occasions, when I became the chief of ENC, I thought it was important to have a framework to lead a community of practice of over 10,000 people. And so I got together with some trusted agents as well as the staff members here and try to define that framework. And that framework is centered around three lines of effort: delivering quality consistently, development of the workforce, and leveraging innovation and ingenuity. Part of that was nested in that framework is how the chief has defined winning for us, right? Was safely delivering quality projects on time within budget. But the other thing that was also nested in there, something that has been a part of my professional career for a long time, and it came from a book by Gene Kranz called Failure is Not an Option. And that's where he talked about being tough and talked about being competent. And the tough part is you're forever accountable for what you do and what you fail to do, and you can never compromise that responsibility. And the competent piece is never being caught short on knowledge and skill. And I think that there summarizes the three lines of effort, really, and that's where it's imperative that we as a community of practice and what we produce meets the standard of care and the quality level of a core product, and that's where you get the delivering quality consistently. And then we just have an equal responsibility to develop the workforce, not for today, but how are we setting conditions for the workforce of tomorrow? And that means we have to continue to adapt and be flexible and be versatile. We have an inherent responsibility to think differently about our deliverables. And that's where being, you know, thinking differently about our solution sets, and that's ingenuity and that's innovation. But there's a part of that is collaboration. And that's where the relationship piece is really important. And it's just not just within the core, but it's important that we have relationships with our industry partners, academia, and others. And so all of those things are kind of nested within the framework of not just strategy map, but the strategic plan.
Okay, great. Thank you, sir. And I want to touch on something, speaking of collaboration and relationships that you just mentioned. It's my understanding that your team here is a fairly new team, not new to the core, but new to working with each other in these leadership roles. Is that right?
It is. But I will tell you that the strides that we have been able to make over the past 3 years, I'm not sure that we would have been able to be where we are today if they hadn't really demonstrated the professional maturity to think differently about who we are as an organization and think differently about where we need to be and set conditions, which is one of our primary responsibilities for the enterprise. So they were really open to this, and really the degree of collaboration was incredible. And I think even before the 3 C's philosophy was popular, I think this team here epitomized what it means to really collaborate, communicate, and be committed to what we're doing.
That's great. It's so motivating when you find yourself a part of a cohesive team just right from the get-go, you know? Chris, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, this is an interesting team. It's certainly a diverse group of personalities. I think it's kind of a funny the way we all came together, because we all think differently, and I mean that as a compliment. You know, when I listen to them talk, they come up with so many different ways of approaching a problem or a different way of thinking about a problem, and just ways that I wouldn't have approached it myself. But I think we show each other a great deal of respect, you know, and even in those differences, we find a way to work together. And, you know, their creativity is kind of brings up new ideas for me. It gives me thoughts that I hadn't thought of and ways of approaching things that I hadn't thought of. So it turns on new lights in my head for things that I want to do and ways that I want to do them. So I'm really, really appreciative of this team, the way they think and the way they act and the way they approach and respect each other.
Yeah, if I could jump in on that. So I think as coming into this new role, I came in right around the same time that Mr. Perez did. I had to sort of shift my focus from my previous role as the community of practice leader for CADBIM, which is a very technological, very forward-leaning, disruptive, if you will, technology-focused area, and really in shifting into the deputy position, thinking more about The same kind of thing, but in terms of people. And how do you engage and motivate the different staff and making sure that everybody is kind of on the same page and has a shared vision about where we're trying to go, get people excited about what they're trying to do day to day, and have a greater understanding of how that fits within a larger whole, something that we've been trying to do, making sure that we're thinking toward the future and making sure that keep the focus on that end goal, that end state.
Yeah, it sounds, I mean, you guys have so many people under your umbrella. I can't imagine the challenge of just trying to get everybody moving in the same direction and motivated at the same time. So, Vanessa, how do you handle that?
So it's a big ship. We are a large organization. We've got a lot of different districts. We've got a lot of different sections. We've got a lot of different professionals. And not all of them understand what everybody else does. It can be a little difficult to figure it out when you're first starting out. Like, where do you fit in the wider organization? How does this look in Alaska District versus Nashville District versus Albuquerque or New England? And that's when folks are first coming in, I think you have to remember that perspective. What does it look like as a brand new professional within the Corps of Engineers? How does it look to you? And I try to always kind of keep that in mind, to remember what it was like the day that I walked into the Corps and suddenly everything was different from what I had done before. The people I was working with were different. The types of projects were different. Where do I find guidance was different. And just the overarching kind of the way the Corps is structured is not always obvious to everybody else. And so starting with that has always helped me kind of help get folks going in the right direction, because I've got to think about what do they know, what do they need to know in order to be able to move. Because you can come in with a guidance of some kind or another, say, oh, here's some rule. You will follow this rule. And the problem with that is, if people don't understand the why of the rule, there's a whole lot of them that won't follow it. They won't follow it because they don't understand it. And I was actually, when I was young, I used to drive teachers crazy because I was the kid in the back of the room that said, but why? And often that is, it seems to be my function here at headquarters. Sometimes my job is to sit in the room with all of my colleagues and say, but why? The exciting part for me is that now I'm working with people who also ask the same question. Is this rule serving now? What was the purpose of it? What is it supposed to do? What goals is it supposed to achieve? So when we're talking with the folks across the Corps about what we need to do, I really always start with the why.
Yeah, and just to quickly add on to what you just said, I think that's important, because if you have a veteran, a seasoned engineer that doesn't understand why something makes sense and why they should follow this rule, they are not going to share that with the younger engineers coming in. They may not make them even aware, and then you have people operating blind. So I think it's important to make sure everybody is vested, everybody understands we're moving towards and making commonsensical guidance.
And trying to keep that contact back with the folks in the field offices that are getting this work done. Right? If these rules do not serve them, if they don't serve the mission and they don't serve them, then what's it for? And how are they, what are the new challenges that they're seeing? What are the things that we haven't addressed yet? What's the new technology that they're desperate to use but we don't have in their hands yet? All of those things kind of come into play. So really, again, the why is important, but also listening to what they're dealing with and trying to make sure we're continuing that contact. You can get lost in your own piece of an agency anywhere if you're not actively seeking that interaction and that discussion.
This is Travis. I want to pull on that thread of why a little bit more, because I think the power of why is pretty drastic. So when folks understand why they're doing the tasks that they've been asked to do, they can better understand the hidden impacts that they need to be alert for, potential issues, and who they need to be coordinating with. And if something goes wrong, who do they need to loop into, hey, there was this new development?
I'll give a plus one on some of the why, you know, being like the last person in the group to talk. It's easy to say, yeah, what they said, but I do believe in it. You know, small aside, about the same time I took this job, I received a mailer from the School of Architecture at KU, and it said, the school of 12,000. And I was like, what is this? Like, I graduated 15 years ago. What is going on here? And really what it was about was the dean of the School of Architecture said, hey, if we really want to see the change that we want, it's going to take all 12,000 alumni pulling in the same direction. And so I've tried to pivot from, you know, what my academic leaders were calling on us as architects to do, to say, hey, I've got 4,000 people in construction. If I can get 4,000 people, roughly 10% of the agency, focused on one thing or maybe two things, the force multiplier that the community of practice could be to elevate quality or better engage with our industry partners and have strong relationships, to innovate contracts and contract management, I could potentially make a pretty good impact to the Army Corps of Engineers. And so while we have a lot of policy and guidance, you know, we have webinars, we have manuals, we have these like very technical and tactical things that at times become natural or intentional silos, it's important to have that bigger conversation about what's potentially in your blind spot or what's not in your aperture, because you're so focused on your community of practice.
I think I'll just pile on just this last comment. I think it's important for leaders to be able to communicate the why. And I think the strategic plan and the strategy map epitomizes what it means really to communicate the why. It is well put together, easily understood, where it does really tell the workforce the why. And as I've said before, that document is an enterprise document that can apply to any functional area within the Corps of Engineers, because we are all responsible for delivering quality consistently that's representative of Corps standard. We all have a responsibility to develop the workforce, not just for today, but for tomorrow, that have the requisite competencies and capabilities. And we have to think differently about our solutions.
So for me, one of the great things about this plan is that it can be used as a tool for the field. And the message that goes along with that tool is that this team has their back to deliver quality no matter what that needs to look like, even if sometimes it might be a little uncomfortable. So how do you hope the folks in the field are using this plan as a tool and implementing the strategic goals and vision that's laid out?
The conditions that we've set is really about, for me, was just enabling the workforce to find their voice. And I think that was important, to put the E back in usage, which is engineering and construction.
I think what we're really hoping is this is a tool in their hand for what right looks like, to empower them to do the right thing on projects. Because what we don't want to have is a situation where we have technical leads, ENC chiefs, or a member of a PDT watching things go wrong because they don't feel like they have the power to speak up. One of the things that I think is in here, not just our enduring goals, but these key messages: speak out for quality, leverage your voice. If you see it, say it. Let's get out there and make sure that it's being done. I mean, ENC is a team sport, and we need to deliver this well. We can't afford to get these things wrong, ever. And so we need all of our folks focused on absolutely getting it right.
If I can jump in this, Kenny, I think too often times policies or whatever come from headquarters and they're lacking context. And they are received as, hey, this is ideal, and the people in Washington, D.C. don't understand my day-to-day challenges as, you know, a GS 11 or 12 journeyman just trying to wake up and crush it every day. And so I think the beauty of some of the work products that this group has put together, you know, including that strategic plan, is that we're saying we've got your back. We're saying we recognize, you know, the operational challenges that you have. When we talk about, you know, key messaging, it's very balanced. And I think it helps in its receipt as being a useful tool. We talk about, you know, hey, our number one goal is quality. I think our tagline is quality always delivers. And when you think about it, the projects that you remember, most of the time, it's not because of what the schedule or the budget was at the end of the day. It was looking at a beautiful product that's been delivered for the country.
Here's what I've communicated. It doesn't say headquarters. It says ENC. And so they really had the liberty to take, whether it was the strategy map or the strategic plan, adopt it and adapt it to make it their own. And the challenge for them last December was I wanted to see how they intended to operationalize that at every district level. And so that was giving them the liberty to say, here, this is your plan. You adapt it to your conditions, to your workforce, to your mission that you're being asked to execute. So long as the framework remains intact, right? And those are those three lines of effort that we've talked about wrapped around with the relationships that are enduring. So to me, it always had a district and regional flavor because I think that's important.
This is Travis. I think the great part of how the strategic plan lays things out is when you think about any one aspect to it, it almost seems like it should be a common sense, no question to that. But I think the importance of packaging it together is what makes it sustainable over time. So if you were focused on quality consistently, and that's all you did, your staffing problems are going to be a problem maintaining that over time. You're never going to find a more efficient or effective way to do business because you're not seeking collaboration opportunities or seeking better ways to do business. So I think that combination is what really makes an organization sustainable over time.
We also talk about, you know, leveraging the power of relationships. But I think our final thing in our, we have a short version of the plan of 3 or 4 pages. And last thing on that says leadership matters. And I think in an organization that's focused on the delivery of infrastructure, it's very critical for people to understand that leadership is a part of all of us. Every day, no matter what community you're in, no matter what grade level you are, leading your work product and leading your teams and PDTs is something that you can do regardless of title. And so my hope is that as this sort of gets implemented, that people really consider, hey, the bigger picture of E&C as a whole, being empowered to stand up for quality, being empowered to stand up as a leader in your organization, because it takes all of us. The successes of this organization and what the administration or the Congress asks us to do, none of that's done in a silo. It's a group of people, PDTs or whatever you want to call it, you know, grabbing hold of each other, moving forward to deliver great products.
So that's a great segue, actually, the message that leadership matters, because I know shortly here we're going to have a transition in leadership with Mr. Perez's upcoming retirement. I was wondering if the team could talk us through that and the plan to keep us all moving forward together through that transition and into the future.
One of the keys here is that we've been collaborating together. This is not any one person's, their only little thing sitting in a silo. This is something that we've all bought into, all of us. And obviously, anytime you change members of a team, things change. The dynamics change, how you communicate might change. But I think what this has done is tapped into the needs of our entire community. So I don't see the focus and direction changing because the needs are still here. The environment is still here. The pressures are still here. Both the direction that we've been working on and this strategic plan and all of these things that we've been doing from ECBs to writing new guidance are in direct response to the needs of our community and to the needs of this agency. So I don't see it changing a lot. I'm actually in a little bit of denial. I don't want him to leave yet. Sorry, sir, but I don't. That being said, I have faith that this agency needs us where we are, that we are doing the work that we need to be doing. And if those things are all true, what we're building here is a foundation that any future team members can build upon.
Yeah, this is Jason. I wanted to add on to that. I don't know if I can say it any better than that, but it's good to see really the workforce being excited and energized by the direction things are going. And like I think others have said, we're really starting to hit that critical mass. And I think we're, you know, going to be able to utilize the framework that we've established and keep iterating our strategic plan and adapting as things get accomplished and new challenges come on board. And I think this is just the start of, you know, a really great period and where I think we can be incredibly effective and understand that we're all working towards that same goal.
Hey, so this is Travis. I'm fully confident that with this transition, the Corps will remain strong because Mr. Perez has laid a great foundation for us. So he has a great leadership that the next ENC chief will inherit, but there'll always be change. We'll always have turnover, but we have an incredibly deep bench with the Corps of Engineers, a lot of folks that have made their way up with experience in building projects, designing projects. That exposure to how to do business is critical to our continuing what we do. And I think that strong foundation of guidance is also part of how we will continue to be strong in delivering premier products, because when we follow our guidance, we do deliver good results. Whenever we don't think guidance makes sense. It's always good to challenge it, always good to ask the whys. But by and large, majority of our projects can fit within those well-laid tracks of our predecessors.
When you talk about how to keep the momentum going, part of my conversation with the team has been, hey, we're just getting started. I've been at the headquarters for about 10 years, and while I would still say today that we are too reactive and that we aren't postured to be strategic enough or to think far enough ahead, that conversation is changing. We are finding ourselves having more strategic discussions. We are investing some resources into planning for the future. We're making the turn. Vanessa earlier said it's like a really big ship, right? And the reason that analogy exists is because at a headquarters of a three-star command, the real change takes time. We're not managing contracts or individual designs and driving the speedboat. So my call to action to the group has been, hey, the leadership team over the last 2 to 3 years has given us the opportunity that we've always been looking for. And while Mr. Perez is going to walk out the door, I think some of that legacy or the time that we look back on is to say, hey, we started the change. Real change in an organization of this size is 3 to 5 years. And when you think about some of the government bureaucracy that's intentional for government agencies, real change might be 5 to 8 to almost 10 years to really get to where you want to be. And so if you're proud of the work that we've done the last couple of years, my hope is that you're motivated to take on a little bit more and to keep pushing forward.
Everything that we do as public servants is never about us, right? It's about those that we serve. And so how are we going to put ourselves aside and just think about the greater good that we're responsible for delivering? Got a great team here that I think will continue to press hard. And I think that's kind of why I said those lines of effort are enduring. It doesn't matter who the chief of E&C is, or it doesn't matter who the chief of engineering is. Those three lines of effort are core to everything that we do. That's, again, that's wrapped around one, the definition of winning, but the importance of relationships, because nothing really happens without the power of the relationships.
That's such a great message. Thank you, sir. And I think that's what's so exciting about the path forward that this team has set together with the field. We talked about this at the top of the discussion, but this is not the result of a few folks sitting in a room and writing in a vacuum. You listened, you asked the questions, and you were in those trenches. You guys worked in districts, and you know what it's like to execute the work. And so for me, I think that's what's so exciting to watch, and to watch where this giant community of practice goes into the future. So, sir, I just want to echo what I've heard so many others say, and thank you for your service and the incredible impacts that you've had, not just for ENC, but for the entire agency. I don't really know of a better legacy to leave than one of such a capable and competent workforce, all headed in the same strategic direction that you've set forth for them. Thank you again, Mr. Perez, and Jason, Vanessa, Kenny, Travis, and Chris for joining us today for this edition of Inside the Castle. We appreciate you and your insights. To our listeners, we want to hear from you, what topics are important to you, and people you're interested in hearing from. Until next time, be safe, be innovative, and remember, quality always delivers. Thanks for joining us for this Inside the Castle podcast. To provide feedback, email us at cw.infrastructure.team@usace.army.mil. Stay tuned for additional Inside the Castle podcasts as we explore life inside the core and revolutionize civil works together.